All right, everybody, welcome aboard to Fox on the Road. Michael Cohen here with you on this Saturday morning, and we have a very special guest joining us here to kick things off here on a Saturday, and that is the voice of the Somerset Patriots, the AA affiliate of the New York Yankees, the one and only Stephen Kuss Miles. Stephen, how are you doing?
Fantastic. It's been a really fun year, fun postseason for the Patriots, fun postseason for the Yankees and the Mets. It's been a very fun couple of weeks and a great 2024.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. I mean, first let's just talk about the Patriots and the season they had, because you know, individual performances aside, for them to go on that run the way they did the last 5 weeks of the year would look like maybe they might not make the postseason, and then for them to go, I think it was at 24-8 down the stretch. I mean, that was incredible to watch that.
It was really special. I mean, to see where they were in the first half, there was a lot of avoidable mistakes. You know, they won the first half 2 years in a row, but I think you can immediately pinpoint back to certain things in the first half this year that were kind of self-inflicted. Like, you could see there were the makings of a team that when they get hot, something special was going to happen. And I heard it from so many different players throughout the year, whether it was Spencer Jones and that top, you know, A-list guy on, you know, in the Yankees farm system, to the various guys throughout the team that were rotating in on the outfield, or various pitchers. They all said it. Once this team finds its stride, they're going to be the best team in the league, and they were for about a month plus. And as you said, I mean, the last 30 games, they were six games out with 24 left, and then they ended up going 22-8 those last few games, and then it was 24-8 after they swept their way through the first round. So it was a really, really special team that, you know, you want to get in the postseason, you want to get hot at the right time, and that's exactly what they did. They rallied around each other. They were playing for each other, and it was a group of characters that everyone stepped up. The starting pitching was fantastic. The bullpen was fantastic, and 1 through 9 in the order, everyone was contributing and just playing good baseball. And it was a really special thing to be a part of.
Absolutely, gas up the ships became the rally call there down the stretch. And I remember when we had the press scrum after the first series, and Bailey Deese took all the credit himself. Says, "Yeah, I came up with it." You know, it was a whole Star Wars reference. I'm sure you've been trying to ask. I know you were asking around. You know, all you and Eli both asking around during that stretch. How did this start? Gas up the ships.
Yeah, that was amazing. So, first of all, it was technically a singular ship. So a lot of people at first, Spencer Jones misspoke. He wasn't really, he didn't get the best reception from the team after he said gas up the ships. But we found out soon enough it's gas up the ship, because the team is in Hartford. And this was, funny enough, this was the week where they turned things on. They were in Hartford the second week of August. They were six games out of first place. They had a really good series. And Bailey Deese had been reading some Starbucks novels, a trilogy of books about, I can't remember exactly because I'm not a big Star Wars guy, but he was kind of in a Star Wars mindset, sitting around the dugout. And he said that, you know, the entire team, he looked at it as an analogy for the ship, and they need to gas up the ship with wins in order to hit light speed. And light speed, he said, is the playoffs. And they used every one of those 22 wins from the time they were in Hartford to gas it up and hit light speed when they swept Hartford in the first round. So it was something that started out more as a joke. You know, they were just playing around with it. And then both Bailey and Max Burt kept bringing it up again after every win. They're gassing up the ship. So it was awesome. They had the T-shirts made by the championship game, championship series against Erie. Kudos to the Patriots front office for the quick turnaround on that. But they gassed up the ship, and it was, you know, you got to have those kind of, like, look at the Mets as an example.
Yeah.
They're rallying around Grimace. They're rallying around their second baseman pop star, playoff pumpkin. You got to have those fun kind of things you rally around. And it was cool to see one of those, you know, up close and personal with the Patriots this year.
It absolutely was. How about Eric Reiselman? I mean, the closer for the team down the stretch. The guy's just, like, all emotion all the time. You know, I mean, you got a chance to speak to him, you know, down the stretch about that. What did you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, that was such a huge part of the second half success, because, you know, he joined the Patriots in the beginning of July and basically worked as the closer from that point on, after, you know, the Patriots lost a few important position players, but also a few important back-of-the-bullpen relievers to injuries, like Kevin Stevens and Jack Neely to a promotion and a trade. So Reiselman stepped right up into that role and just dominated from day one. I mean, he had really didn't have hardly any off outings. And like you said, it's just such an easy guy to root for, really personable. He's had to overcome so much with injuries in the couple of years since he's been drafted. And just he's going to wear his emotions on his sleeve, and he's earned a new nickname from it after he closed out that first game of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They were calling him the Red Bull because it looked like he shotgunned a can of Red Bull after he came off the mound with that final out. So he's just one of those guys, extremely easy to root for, extremely talented. I mean, how many guys are pumping 99, 100 that effortlessly and, you know, commanding it? It was really fun to see. And, you know, any good playoff team, you got to have that lockdown reliever, set of relievers. And for the Patriots, he was the ninth inning guy, and he led to a lot more wins down the stretch there.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if he's on the roster to start next year. I mean, you know how it is in minor leagues. You know, players can move around and things can change, you know, certainly in spring training. But, you know, he will certainly be a feature face if he's back on the club to start at least next season.
Yeah, I mean, the fun thing is with this being my third season here and with it being the Patriots' fourth season here, you kind of get a sense for what they like to do with certain prospects from a year-to-year standpoint. So you can look at a guy like Jack Neely as a good example. In 2023, he was called up in June, spent the rest of the year in Somerset, dominated as the Patriots' closer, and he did return to start 2024 with the Patriots before he was called up to AAA. So looking at it from a similar trajectory, similar skill set, a guy in like Raiselman who's got three pitches, Neely had two, they both throw hard, they're both kind of in that same echelon of strong relieving prospects. I feel like you can read the tea leaves and see what the Yankees have done with some of the prospects year over year. And someone like Jack Neely, who had maybe a similar trajectory, similar age point and time in his life, a similar draft collateral. And it would be great. You know, obviously you want to see these guys move up as soon as possible. But at the end of the day, perfecting your craft for a few more weeks or a few more months, however long it is in Somerset, it's definitely not the worst thing.
Definitely not. Speaking of perfecting his craft, Spencer Jones just continues to impress. I mean, he gets better as a hitter, not just, you know, from the power standpoint, but just the ability to spray the ball around the field. Obviously, he's a guy who keeps talking about trying to go the other way. Even on MLB Network, when he was talking to guys like Spencer, Sean Casey, talked about using the entire field. 17 home runs, 78 RBIs. I mean, he is an incredible player to watch. I mean, what's it been like watching him for the last year and a half now?
You know, it's been really cool to see the strides he's made, because I know he caught a lot of, you know, backlash for the strikeouts and the negative side of things, which is where people tend to go initially. But, man, that guy worked so hard from day one to day 150 or however many there are in the season, because to see where he was at the beginning of the year, you know, struggling with certain things as far as the swing and readjusting certain things, by the end of the year, to see him put together the season he had, batting 259, 17 homers, leading the organization and the league in extra base hits and total bases, he's just such a special player. And I think you could see it even at the points where he was struggling early in the season. Whenever he got a hold of one, you could see that when he figures it out, it's going to be very special. And you got glimpses of it when he had the 7 RBIs in Richmond back in late June, the first week of the second half. You could see the breakout was coming, and it lasted through the end of the season. So with a guy like Spencer Jones, he just has all the tools. He makes fielding look so effortless. He covers so much ground in such a little period of time. He's one of the quickest base runners I've ever seen for someone his size. Just a true five-tool player. We've seen it in the outfield. We've seen it on the bases. The power, obviously. I mean, he saved his best homer for last with that one in the division series of the playoffs with 115 off the bat. I think it was 457 feet against Hartford. I mean, when he gets a hold of one, it's a special thing to see. And we really saw him come into his own. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very special season to see up close and personal. And especially, look, again, being this close to the team, you see how hard he works. You see him keeping himself mentally strong and the approach is there. And, you know, I got to give credit to his teammates and the coaching staff as well for keeping him in the right mindset, and it was just very cool to see once things were all put together, and Spencer's going to be a special player one day.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the Yankees are loaded, you know, with talent, especially in the outfield. You have Spencer Jones, of course, and Jason Dominguez, and, you know, it's a big year, obviously, you know, with obviously Soto going to be a potential free agent, so to have those two guys for the Yankees in the back of their pocket, not a bad problem to have.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, you even forget about the guys like Everson Pereira, who had surgery this year, and I mean, he was a guy that was raking at the time of his injury in 2024 and got some big league time. You mentioned Jason Dominguez. I mean, on down the list, there's so many great outfielders, and you even see, you know, guys like Brandon Lockridge, who was in AAA, yeah. and the Yankees didn't have a spot for him. I mean, he's now on a playoff roster with the Padres. That gives you a glimpse at just the depth of talent that the Yankees have. And, you know, obviously it starts with those two guys, Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez.
Absolutely. Here's the guy who's been around for a while with Somerset, and I just thought he had an incredible second half. I mean, it gets kind of, I think a lot of people didn't really notice it because obviously how well Spencer Jones was hitting, but Elijah Dunham was just on fire in the second half of the season. I mean, he would have games where he would two or three hit games, sometimes multiple days in a row. I mean, he was just incredible in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, he's the perfect example of a guy that, you know, he's been in AA a few years in a row now, but he's playing where his feet are, and he's working to be the best player and the best version of himself he can be every day. And for him, you know, he's got the great experience. He won a championship here a couple years ago, and, you know, he was one of the most vocal guys on the team during the playoff run about, you know, listen, not everyone in this room is going to be a big leaguer, but at least when you hang up your cleats, you can be able to say, I did something here in Somerset. And it's that kind of perspective from Elijah Dunham, who proved to be such a great leader, great mature presence in the locker room, to say, listen, you might want to be in AAA, you might want to be in the big leagues right now, but right now you're here, and to be playing for a championship and playing in meaningful games is a privilege. And that was something that was contagious in the locker room. And, I mean, not even just, like, you look at the season-long numbers were great for Elijah Dunham, but it was the quality of the hits, too. I felt like so many of his homers either tied the game or gave Somerset the lead. He just had a knack for those moments, and he's a guy that selfishly was exciting to have him in Somerset for most of the year, but I think he's going to be on to bigger and better things because he's just got – he's matured so much these few years, and both as a player and as a person, and I think I'm going to be expecting big things from him.
Absolutely. On the pitching front, I mean, obviously Bailey Dee stands out. Tristan Vreeling stands out. Zach Messinger, another one who stood out this year. I hate using the word, oh, this is your ace or this is a team ace, because to me I think Somerset, they didn't really have an ace, but it's not the worst thing in the world because they had a bunch of guys who could really pitch really, really well. And your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I compared it late in the season to another Mets analogy, what they have with like Manaea, Severino, yeah. and Quintana. Like, you've got three really good pitchers, but I don't think you look at any of them as an ace. And they've all been there all year. Like, Messinger, Dees, and Vreeling, they were all there since opening day. They all went through their share of struggles. But I think the biggest strength of this team when, you know, by August, when they were hitting their stride, was that those three guys were the hottest three pitchers in the Eastern League by August. Like, their last five or six, even seven starts, were probably their best five, six, or seven starts. I think that having three guys that were that dependable, I called it the big three by the end of the year. And yeah. I don't think you could have said that by June, July, or early August, but I mean, having those three, and again, same thing I said with Spencer Jones, to see the strides they made, the things they were working on, how it paid off, and to do it that late in the season for several guys, like, I mean, in the case of Bailey Dees and Zach Messinger, they were both drafted as relievers, and to see them throw that many innings that efficiently, and for Vreeling in his first professional season, that was just such an impressive trio of pitchers, and I think even looking beyond them, like, guys like Ben Shields, Cam Schwitwer, and Brock Selvidge got their time in AA this year. I think there's a good chance that we could see them continuing to improve with the Patriots next year. And I think the future is very bright because, you know, the Yankees gave up a lot of depth as far as the starting pitching goes when they traded for Juan Soto, and they had several guys picked in the Rule 5 draft. I think they lost a lot on that front, but they gained it back when you see the progress made by Dees, Messinger, Vreeling, and so many other guys that were in Hudson Valley and beyond this year. It was very impressive to see how much they improved from start to finish.
Absolutely. What do you feel you learned in covering this team that about this coaching staff with Raul Dominguez, his coaching staff? What did you learn about them that maybe you really didn't feel you knew at the start of the year?
Well, with Raul, it was fun to have him back for a second straight season, and the rest of the coaching staff, too. I mean, Aaron Bossy back for a third straight season. Just a great personality, and it was awesome getting to know Kevin Martyr, Brett DeGagne, the entire support staff as well. It was an awesome crew, but I feel like with Raul, he's just so approachable, but at the same time, he gets his point across with the players. He's demanding when he has to be, and he's always stressing the fundamentals. With Raul, like, you knew that last year, the fact that You know, he's always making sure that they're concerned with the right things. The big thing that Raul would say is, like, control what you can control. And I think you look at that first half I alluded to where there were a lot of self-inflicted wounds. That was not controlling what you can control. But once there was clean baseball, clean pitching, great base running, and everything was clicking, I think you start to see that fundamental idea that Raul Dominguez brings to the table in all of its fruits and labors, in the sense that everyone was playing for each other. And that's probably the part I learned the most this year, is that, you know, I've been around this team 3 years now, and you kind of get to see different clubhouse dynamics, like how close is everybody, how tight is everybody. And I feel like it's been really tight all 3 years, but by the end of this season, I don't know if I've ever seen a tighter locker room than those, that group of guys that was in the playoffs. And I thought they had honestly a shoe-in for the championship, but it was just, you know, you ran into another hot team in Erie, but just a group of guys that really plays for each other, and that cannot be overstated enough. Just the power of chemistry and great clubhouse guys, great leaders, goes such a long way, and that's definitely what I learned about this team this year, was a really great group of leaders in the clubhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And this, again, the series against Erie, that was a tough one because we saw how well the Erie Seawolves, they're pitching. I mean, we all know the Detroit Tigers have good pitching. We've seen the major leagues. And now you see more of those guys coming up in the minor league system as well. So I guess if as we're recording this, we still don't know who's going to win game five between Detroit and Cleveland.
Right.
If we get the Yankees, Tigers, and the ALCS, I guess we're going to be seeing a lot of that for a while now in the American League. So
yeah.
You never know.
And also, you know, I mentioned before Brandon Lockridge on the Padres.
Yeah.
You got Trey Sweeney playing every day for the Tigers. It's incredible to see. I mean, there's so many Patriots around, really all of the remaining teams. But, you know, we've gotten to see you got to give credit where it's due, too. The Tigers, that team in Erie, has been in the championship 3 years in a row. They've produced so many great players, and it's not a coincidence. They do a great job there, and I think there's definitely a mutual respect, and it would be kind of ironic to see if the Tigers and Yankees meet again in the championship series.
Would be. It would be an awesome series.
Yeah.
Speaking of awesome, those jersey dining uniforms were dynamite this year, and obviously everyone's been taking notice. They won the Golden Bobblehead Award this year at the MILB Fall Business Summit. I think also MLB Network, was it just last week, a couple weeks ago, they recognized it as the best alternate uniform.
Yep, and that was a fan vote. So it was pretty cool to see, like, I mean, I think it was kind of evident from day one, like literally the second we revealed this, that it was something very special. But in terms of those two awards, I think it was kind of cool to see two angles of it. And one, fan vote. Fans loved it. Fans voted it the best alternate identity. And then on the other end, you know, it was the MILB business meetings where you win a golden bobblehead, which means you're getting all that praise and appreciation from, you know, your industry, from the various other presidents and general managers and front offices in minor league baseball. So I think it was, again, from that day, January 23rd, when we announced the Jersey Diners, it felt like something special was unfolding. From the second we hit send on that first tweet and that first Facebook post and the way that people reacted to it in the diner that we revealed it at, and seeing the forthcoming weeks with how popular the merchandise was and all the different branding elements, it was, you know, it's fun to highlight the on-the-field stuff and all the things we just talked about, but it's the first time I've been a part of something that special off the field with our whole rollout of the Jersey Diners and how hard the entire team worked as a whole, starting with Dave Marek and Hal Hansen and Patrick McVerry, the entire front office, from literally top to bottom, played such a huge role in making this what it was and making the Diners games have such a cool atmosphere. I think everyone, the players, fans, coaches, absolutely everyone rallied around it, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon. I think that it was just the tip of the iceberg, and it was just really thrilling to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Last question on the Patriots for this year. What are you looking for from what you experienced this year? What are you looking forward to most going forward for the Somerset Patriots?
Well, you know what? It's been, like I said before, it's been 3 years here. It's been three extremely fun teams. The Yankees are always going to, you know, load us with some great talent. I feel like that's kind of safe to say. It's just, it's a testament to great player development practices, great coaching, great resources, and a lot of people in the building that care. So what I'm looking forward to most is just getting back to the ballpark on April 4th, watching more baseball, winning more baseball. I think that it's a fun organization to be a part of with Somerset and with the Yankees, and just doing it again. There's so many cool things that happen off the field with, you know, we talked about the Diners, but even things like Sopranos Night and all the cool promotions that played out last year, just doing it again, honestly. It's like there's never a day that repeats itself. Every day in Somerset with the Patriots is different. There's a different rehabber. There's a different call-up. There's a different on-field promotion. I mean, it is a really special story, and I think one of my favorite things about working with the Patriots and baseball in general is that every day and every game and every year has its own unique luster. So what I'm looking forward to most is what that luster looks like in 2025.
Yeah. I mean, talking about call-ups, I mean, when Garrett Cole came up, I mean, my goodness, you had a standing room. That was amazing, that crowd that night.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the biggest crowd I've ever seen at the ballpark, at almost any ballpark. I mean, and not only the size of the crowd, but you got a buzz. You know, when you're getting that many Yankee fans flocking to TD Bank Ballpark, they're in on every pitch. And it's not like they left after he was done with his three or four innings. Everyone was locked in from the first out to the last out. You know, you have guys like Garrett Cole, a Cy Young Award winner there. You're getting real hardcore baseball fans. And it's not just the size of the crowd, but the quality of it and how loud and energetic everything was. The atmosphere was something I've never seen before at a minor league game.
Absolutely. Well, speaking about atmosphere, here in the month of October, of course, we've got both the Mets and the Yankees steeped in the postseason. Both of them are in their league championships together at the same time for the first time in 24 years. I don't want to say that phrase. Subway. It starts with Subway. It sounds like a, you know, but I don't want to say it right now. But this has been a magical run from the Mets standpoint. You know, you mentioned Grimace, the OMG song, the playoff pumpkin, the light shows in the stadium. They've had an incredible run for the last four or five months, not just in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Yankees, who've kind of just methodically just gone about things as they always do, and you know, they have found a way, even when they're not hitting. Well, you know, as this series in the Royals, they weren't really hitting all that well. Judge wasn't hitting well, but here they are, right where they belong in the ALCS.
Yeah, I mean, this has been so fun to watch. I was talking to you right before we got in here of, like, I feel like this has been, all bias and all kind of, you know, fandom aside, this has been such an entertaining postseason. Every team has had such a fun story. Every game has been so fun to watch as well. And you mentioned the dynamics with the Mets and Yankees. Like, to see Carlos Mendoza in his first season with the Mets, a former Yankee, that entire dugout over there all loved Mendy, and to see him with an opportunity to potentially go up against his team, and guys like Volpe and Wells and Rice on the postseason roster. And on the Mets side of things, you know, you've got Harrison Bader, you've got Luis Severino, a couple former Yankees immediately contributing to winning playoff baseball over in Queens. It's been such a fun narrative to follow, and such different dynamics too, because like you said, the Mets, it's been like this Cinderella story feel. Like, people didn't think they were going to be a playoff team this year. You get Scherzer off the team, you get Verlander, DeGrom, and the expectations are suddenly low, but they've kind of gotten the best case scenario out of all their free agent signings and everyone in between. So kudos to David Stearns for writing that ship, and it's been a very special to see where, like you said, all those kind of fun things like Grimace and OMG, and it's something I've never seen before. And then with the Yankees, it's like they're doing what everyone expected them to do, and so it's a little bit more uptight. Like, the Mets feel like a team that right now they're playing loose, they're playing for each other, they're playing very confidently and just kind of with house money, whereas the Yankees, I feel like it's definitely a little bit tense, and I think you saw that in the Royals series.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of emotion let out after game four, and I think that, you know, they're a team that's playing very cohesively as well, and I think you're going to – listen, they basically won the first round in the ALDS without Aaron Judge. I mean, he didn't have a lot to say with the final results, but you've got a hot Stanton. You've got great defensive plays between Volpe and Wells and some of those guys. And then you're going to get a hot Aaron Judge at some point. I think it's a matter of time, regardless of what the playoff naysayers want to say about him. It's still Aaron Judge, and he's going to make his presence known by the time the postseason is said and done. And, you know, two completely different dynamics, and that's part of what makes it so fun to watch. And obviously I'm pulling for the aforementioned that thing that the phrase we don't want to say here, but
not yet.
I think a lot of people in this area would like to see that happen for sure.
I know it would be exciting to see it happen again. The first time around, I said this to a friend, I said the first time around, it really wasn't surprising because you kind of knew, you kind of felt it was going to happen because the year before they were both there. And of course, the Mets lost to the Braves and the Yankees swept the Braves in World Series in 99. This year, it's like, when did this come from? Like, right. like you mentioned, the Mets had no expectations in the year. Yankees had the expectations. Okay, let's just see you get to the postseason and find out. And if they both end up in the same place at the same time, wow, that would be something else.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun postseason already. If it ended right this second, it would have been one of the best ever. And I think that they're, you know, when it's all said and done, this is going to be a really special year, whether it's for the Mets or the Yankees or any other team. This is a very special season we're watching unfold in the playoffs.
All right. That's Stephen Cusumano, your play-by-play voice of the Somerset Patriots, AA affiliate of the New York Yankees. Stephen, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right.